Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Eliana Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Eliana, welcome back.
Thanks, Greg. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you back. And yesterday, our regular listeners know we spent all three martinis on the Anthony Weiner scandal. It's good that he'll probably end up not being mayor as a result of this. Bad that the media carried his water and assumed that this was not a big deal at first, and then basically warmly welcomed him back into the political arena. And then the crazy part was that he and several other folks are involved in high-profile political positions, and they could very well be psychotic. We talked about John Edwards, Bob Filner, and some others who have been around. So we're going to get back to that story in the crazy martini, but first we need to cleanse the palate, remind ourselves, first of all, but also all of our listeners, that there are still good, decent political figures out there, and there's no better story on this, Eliana, than one that was posted late yesterday, and it's getting quite a bit of attention today, and that's former President George H.W. Bush. We know about how he's been kind to many different people throughout his life, and in retirement, that's been no different. Great, touching picture yesterday. He shaved his head in solidarity with a two-year-old son of one of the members of a Secret Service detail. All the men in the detail shave their heads as well. The boy's going through leukemia treatment. His prospects are good. His name is Patrick, and there's this great picture of the former president holding little Patrick on his lap. It appears there in Kennebunkport, and it's just so refreshing after everything we've had to kind of shower off of ourselves in the last several days here to just see a great moment like that involving someone who, of course, has played a prominent political role in our lifetime.
He's a lovely person, and I think the aspect of this story that a lot of people may not know is that George H.W. Bush lost his three-year-old daughter to leukemia a long time ago now, but obviously that's something that he carries with him. Great tragedy in his life. The Bush family, they also lost a sibling. It's a story that is written about very movingly in the Richard Ben Kramer book, What It Takes, which is when I learned about it. It's something that they don't talk about often, but that obviously had a great impact on the family.
Yeah, Robin was the second child between George W. and Jeb. And as you mentioned, she died at a very young age. And back then, of course, the treatments weren't nearly what they are now. So it's great that little Patrick has a good prognosis here. But just the fact that that shows you the heart of the former president and his ability to relate to people, even at an advanced age. Good for him. So happy to report good news with no political twist to it to start off the podcast today. On to martini number two now, and back deeply into politics right away. The president's off on his pivot back to the economy tour. He was in Illinois and Missouri yesterday, and I think he's going to be in a couple more speeches as the days go on here. But in that speech in Illinois, he talked about what he considers to be great progress in the economy, but then he talked about the work still left to be done. And we'll see if you've heard any of this before.
We're not there yet. We've got more work to do. Even though our businesses are creating new jobs and have broken record profits, nearly all the income gains of the past 10 years have continued to flow to the top 1%.
But it's not all the 1%'s fault.
But with this endless parade of distractions and political posturing and phony scandals, Washington's taken its eye off the ball. And I'm here to say this needs to stop. This needs to stop.
Eliana, I'll let you have the floor here, but I think a lot of people are scratching their heads over the term phony scandals, given that four are dead in Benghazi and Obama himself was supposedly outraged over the IRS abuses. So the more things change in terms of where we are in the calendar, it looks like he's back in campaign mode.
You had even Chuck Todd on NBC News today saying that, you know, this is the president's attempt, obviously, to change the focus from these scandals back to something productive for the administration. And his means of doing that is to give a speech. I don't really think that there is a productive economic agenda coming from the administration. And the scandals are real, which is why, in particular, the IRS scandal and the Benghazi scandals are very real things that have impacted the administration, which is why he has to decry them as phony and give a speech. I don't know what's happening other than the giving of a speech that dragged on for over an hour. It'll be interesting to see if he is, in fact, successful in diverting attention from the scandals.
Let's go back to the scandal in New York City, because in addition to the ongoing demands for Anthony Weiner to get out of the race, there's even additional speculation about why his wife, Huma Abedin, who is no wallflower, she's been a high-ranking official in the State Department. She's very close to Hillary Clinton. I believe she served close to Hillary Clinton when Mrs. Clinton was first lady, as well as the latest sex scandal about online infidelities from Anthony Weiner came to light. She not only stood by him at his press conference a couple days ago, Eliana, she actually spoke and was vigorously defending him and says it's time to move forward. All this stuff's in the past. It's good to have a female in Three Martini Lunch today to react to that. What do you make of her role in all this?
It's just ridiculous. All we hear about her is how she's the smartest and shrewdest figure in the entire Democratic Party. And she's sitting by this guy's side. Obviously, she knows he's lying when he says that he's put all this behind him. She had to have known if she is as smart and shrewd as we're told. So either she is just as ambitious as he is, or she has, you know, some sort of pathological need to be humiliated. I don't really know which one it is, but it is really painful to see.
What do you think's going to ultimately happen here?
Oh, I think he'll bow out.
Once he sees the next round of poll numbers, or what's going to be the trigger?
I think there's just going to be too many widespread cries for him to get out. You know, when the New York Times editorial page is telling you to pack your bags, I don't think there's much hope. I should add, I don't think that there is going to be the same outcry against her. And I think, you know, she's likely as bad as he is.
Certainly a lot of people very surprised by the way she's responded to all of this. And
you have to say, I mean, Elliot Spitzer's wife never came out and stood next to him in all of this. You have to say that in her favor.
And there's always the chance that more of this stuff's coming out. Even he's admitted that it's probably out there. So the humiliation is not over yet. Amazing. Amazing. But think about George H.W. Bush as we go out here. That's the really nice story of the day. I think we've thought too much about Carlos Danger in the last 48 hours. So we'll let it roll from there. Eliana, great to have you with us again. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Eliana Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. Jim will be back on Friday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Jim and me on Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.